And we had our meeting, got in the car, pulled out of McDonald's, and got to where I had to make a left-hand turn onto the main highway. And there was a car in front of me, and it was a red light. And then the left-hand turn light went green, the arrow. The car didn't move. It was in front of me. And, you know, I thought to myself, now I've got to be talking to these people about patience. So I'll tell you what I am not going to do. I am not hitting the horn. That isn't going to happen. The man in front of me, it looked like he had his head down and he was on his cell phone or something, doing texting, I don't know. But I waited and I waited. And then, of course, the light turned red. Now, I'm in a shopping center trying to turn onto a major highway. That means that I had to wait another minute or two for the light to turn green again. But I was learning patience. So I waited. I waited. And finally, the green left arrow came, and I'm all ready to go, and he didn't go anywhere. And then he got out of his car, and he was looking around. I don't know if he stalled the car. I don't know what happened. Jumped back in the car, and light went red. And I said to myself, you know what? I am not hitting that horn. I am not going to do it. Well, the third time was the charm. Green light again. We finally got to go. Okay. Are you a patient person? Are you patient when that person asks you the same question five times? Are you a patient person when you have got to get to church on time, but your wife is still working on things, you know? Okay, my wife was right down there. By the way, my trick to that was I always had my keys on in my hand and I jingled them. You know, so eventually she's going to get the idea. Well, I guess we can have a lot of fun joking about maybe not being as patient as we should. But did you know God wants you to be patient? The passage this morning is from James chapter 5, and we'll put it up. Let me read it, and we can read along together. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. Don't grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is at the door. Three times in this very short little passage, the Bible says to us that we are to be patient. Well, if we're going to learn to be patient, I suppose the first thing that we need to know is what exactly patience looks like. What does patience look like? Well, the first thing I'd like to suggest is that patience is long-tempered. You say, well, I don't know if I know what that means, long-tempered. We don't have that expression in English. But when the Bible was written, it was written in Greek, and they did have that expression. Indeed, it is the very word that is translated patience. I'll give you a little Greek here, okay? He does not own a deli around the corner. It's a word, a Greek word. It's makrothumeo. macrothumeo. It's actually two words that are kind of put together. The word macro, which means long or long or large, and then thumeo, which deals with your emotions, your temperament. Macro thumeo. Be long tempered. Well, we don't have that expression in English, but we actually have the opposite expression in English. It's called being short-tempered, correct? Being short-tempered. Having a short fuse. Quickly losing your cool. But the word that God wants for us is to be long-tempered. Not short-tempered. Not impatient. But patient. I think we can move on if I'm looking at these slides. There it is. Okay, put it up there for you. So the Greek word here means to be long-tempered, to be patient with reference to your emotions. But what's really interesting about this particular word is that it almost always is used with reference to people. We can keep that slide moving. There. Oh, I forgot a verse. Okay. Forgive me. With reference to people. We urge you, brother, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Now, the word for patient here that Paul uses is the same word that James uses. And I want you to notice that it is with reference to people. There is another concept of patience that's really not found in this particular word that we think about somebody who's patient in terms of situations. Now, you got to figure out a way to occupy the grandchildren when they're over to the house. So one of the things you can do is get out the 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. That usually works for about 5 minutes. We never even hardly get started. Why? Because grandchildren aren't patient. But you see, that idea of patience has to do with patience in situations. Being the idea of putting up with things that are going on. Later on in this passage, when we get all the way down to verse 11, it talks about the endurance of Job. That's a different word. The word that James is using at verse 7 is the word to be patient with reference to people. Do people get on your nerves? We are to be patient with reference to people. Well, another way of putting it is that this word patience has the idea of not inflicting wrath. It is the idea of restrained wrath. Restrained wrath. What do I mean by that? Well, let's take a look at a passage that's found in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 14 at verse 18, it says, "The Lord is slow to anger." Now, the book of Numbers, an Old Testament book, was originally written in Hebrew. But about 200 years before Christ, the Jews at that time were no longer speaking Hebrew. The world had been conquered by the Greeks, and the whole world all around the Mediterranean was speaking the Greek language. And so the Jews of that day decided to translate the Hebrew scriptures into Greek. When they translate this passage, the term slow to anger, they used makrothumeo, the word that James uses for patience. The Lord is patient. But the Hebrew says that he is slow to anger. That is, he is abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty. God withholds the wrath that people deserve. He withholds the punishment. He restrains that so that in his kindness, he might forgive. That in his kindness, he might not have to judge. Now, I want you to be very clear about this. When God says that he's slow to anger, that does not mean that he will never punish. This idea of patience is not the idea of giving up punishment, giving up justice. Not at all. Because you'll notice that the verse goes on and it says, he will in no means clear the guilty. Rather than saying, I'll never punish, I'll never be angry, I'll never judge, God simply says to us, I'm withholding judgment. I'm slow to anger. Now, just to give you a little illustration, when our children were growing up, you know, it was before all of these handheld games and stuff, but they figured out ways to occupy themselves. And I can remember that it would be time, you know, for dinner, and you'd call the children. Come on, it's dinner time. Guess what happened? Nothing. They didn't come. So you call again. It's dinner time. Come on, come. You got to come. The food's getting cold. Come on. And guess what happened? Nothing. Correct. Nothing. At that point, we have to be patient. Now, after four or five times, and they do not come, patience is lost, and anger and wrath takes over, right? There is a time for punishment. There is a time for anger. There is a time for wrath. But God withholds all of that. He's slow to anger. Why? Why would he do that? Why wouldn't God just inflict justice immediately when sin takes place? When we are rebellious and disobedient? The reason is that patience has the goal of producing repentance. Patience, this idea of being slow to anger, long-tempered with reference to people, has the goal of seeing people change. Look what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 2. Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? Same idea, makrothumeo. Not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. Why is it when the children don't come the first time you're called, you don't just bust into their room and give them a good smack. Because you want them to change their minds. You want them to do what is right. And so you urge and you appeal and you implore and you withhold the wrath. You are patient. That's what God is doing for us. And that is exactly what God wants us to be doing for one another. But there's one little thing else that we need to understand about this patience. It requires time. It takes time. From the point where there is an offense to the point where there is repentance, hopefully, and a change of heart and mind, invariably, there's a lot of time in between. Let's take a look at one more passage of Scripture. This is found in Matthew chapter 18. The Lord is giving a parable, and he's giving a parable about a landowner, a lord, who had lent out quite a bit of money to various servants of his. And he eventually calls in these loans, and we pick it up at verse 24. When that lord began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Today, that translates to $60 million. So there's a bit of exaggeration going on by the Lord how large this debt was. Since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that they had, and payment be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me." Makrothumeo. What is he saying? He's saying, please give me time. Isn't that what he's saying? Have patience with me. Give me time and I'll pay it all back. Patience requires time. Time for people to change. Time for people to repent. God has been patient with us. From the moment we turned away from him, from that moment, we were deserving wrath. We were deserving his anger. We were deserving of condemnation and judgment. But God is slow to anger. God was patient. He was giving us time to change. And so he says to us, there will be those who offend you. There will be those who frustrate you. I want you to be patient like I am patient. I want you to give them time to change. Be patient. That's what the Lord is calling us to be. That's what patience looks like. But along with telling us to be patient, James gives us an example. An example, what is involved in being patient. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until he receives the early and the late rains. So James says, look at the farmer. The farmer is a wonderful example to us of being patient. But what exactly is in this example? And what are we to learn from the farmer? First, we learn that, and we can put the next slide up, bearing fruit takes time. Bearing fruit takes time. He says that the farmer has to wait for the early and then the late rains. Now, if we lived in Israel, we would understand this a lot better. Israel's growing season, which begins in their spring, began with a rainy period, very much like we have here in April. April showers bring May flowers. They had a rainy period at the beginning. It was during this period that the hard ground was softened by the rains, became tillable, and they could plant the seed, and there was enough moisture for those seeds to germinate. But then in Israel, the summer comes, the dry season, where there is practically no rain at all. During this season, the crops grow little. They don't have the moisture that they need. But at the end of the summer, the second rainy season takes place. And the rains come, and the crops grow, and the fruit fills out. The farmer has to understand that it takes time, and he must wait. If we are to have patience, we must learn to wait. He waits. What an interesting word is used for the word to wait. It's a word that literally means patient expectation. Patient expectation. Now, the best that I can do to explain that word for waiting relates to me and tomatoes. You get that, don't you? All right, I love tomatoes. That is, I love Lancaster County homegrown, plump, red, juicy tomatoes. Those things that they call tomatoes in the winter, they're not tomatoes. Okay, they're a fraud. I love that beautiful homegrown tomato. Now, some of you probably have your own gardens. I used to have a garden, don't have it anymore, but I used to have a garden, and I can remember putting down the new plants. For some, you actually grew those plants from seed. You had to start way back after the first of the year. It's just about tomato planting time around now. You got to wait for the last frost, make sure you don't lose them. But you plant those tomatoes early May, late April. And then, guess what you have to do? Wait. You gotta wait. I never was able to harvest any tomatoes until around the 4th of July. So all of May, all of June, what are you doing? Patient expectation. You understand that? Patient expectation. The farmer realizes that it takes time to grow fruit. But there's something else in this illustration. Not only does the farmer have to learn to wait because it takes time to grow fruit, but secondly, the farmer understands the value of that fruit. Going on. There we go. Oh, I'm going to skip this. We'll just keep on going. Fruit is worth the wait. Fruit is worth the wait. James says that the farmer waits for the precious fruit. The fruit is precious. It's valuable. It has a value to the farmer, and it is that which makes him want it. We must learn to hope. We need to hope and have a hope for the fruit. But the fruit that we're to be patient for is the fruit that occurs in other people's lives. Are other people, the very people that frustrate you, okay, the very people that you're impatient with too often, even the people that offend you, do you see them as precious fruit? Let's take a look at what the Apostle Paul says to the church at Thessalonica. Next slide. What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Isn't it you in the presence of our Lord? You know, we're supposed to have patient expectation for the coming of the Lord. Indeed, we sang about the fact that the Lord's going to reign this morning. And we sang about the fact that he's coming again. But when Paul thought about the coming of the Lord, his patient expectation was not simply that he was going to go to heaven, he was going to see glory, but he looked at the people around him, the people that God asked him to be patient with. And he said, when the Lord returns, you are my crown of rejoicing. You are what is going to bring me joy when the Lord returns. Now I ask you, are there people that frustrate you that you'd like to see right there beside you when the Lord returns as a crown on your head, as a cause of joy? As they, like you, stand in the presence of Almighty God, having their sins forgiven, their lives fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So from the farmer, we learn first that fruit-bearing takes time. You ought to be patient. We learn, secondly, that the fruit is worth it, and we need to hope. But thirdly, we learn from the example of the farmer, and let's go on. Next, there we go, okay. At verse 8, he says, you also, you be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. What do you mean, James? Establish my heart. How does one establish your heart? Well, the idea of establishing is the idea of creating a foundation that is strong and stable. Stabilize your hearts. That is, we need to trust. The fruit will come. Now, not only does James three times in these three short verses talk about patience, but three times in these three short verses, he talks about the coming of the Lord. Be patient, the Lord's coming. Be patient, the Lord's coming. The judge is right there at the door. When I think about trust, the first thing I think about is trusting in the promises of God. I need to trust God. I need to trust God that the Lord who came down here to earth and died for my sins and went up into heaven is coming again. He's made that promise to me. I need to trust him that he will fulfill that promise. But I also need to trust him that if I am patient as he is patient, then indeed the fruit will come that God is giving to me. Now, I'd like to be able to tell you that if you are patient with people, every single person with whom you are patient will certainly repent. They will change. They will be altogether different. They will love the Lord. They'll be your best buddies. But I can't do that. Because you see, it's not even true with God. The Bible says God doesn't desire anyone to perish. His desire is that all might come to repentance. He is patient. He is pleading. His spirit is wooing people. But in the end, the Lord Jesus said that there will be few that actually come. That the road's narrow that leads to eternal life. Do you think God gives up on his patience with people because he realizes that not everyone will accept that patience? Not at all. We need to trust God that if we are patient, there will be those who receive the rewards of our patience. There will be those who will come to Jesus Christ. There will be those whose lives are changed because we refrain from wrath and we gave them an opportunity and they took it. Look what it says in the book of Revelation. This is in Revelation chapter 22. The Lord says, behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense, my reward with me to repay each one for what he has done. You will receive a reward from the Lord for being patient with people, for being there to help them, to encourage them, rather than becoming frustrated with them and turning them aside. There is a reward. The reward is going to be there when Jesus comes. And there will be crowns of rejoicing all around you if you will simply be patient with people. Let's go to the next slide. Patience requires the Spirit of God working in your heart. Book of Galatians says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, macrothumia, patience. You can't do this on your own. You can only do it with the help of God. But do you want to do it? Are you committed to being patient? For the Lord is coming again. And you want to have some fruit in his presence. Let's bow for prayer. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. Father, I thank you that you were patient with us. You continue to be patient with us, not inflicting the wrath that we deserve, but being slow to anger, forgiving. Help us, Lord, that we might have that same patience in our own lives, one to the other. Some snatching out of the fire, that they might know you. We pray it in Jesus' name.